For our reading this afternoon, will you turn with me, first of all, to the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. John, chapter 20, and we'll begin our reading with the 11th verse. John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The next chapter, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep, or tend my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself and walkedst whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In the first chapter of Acts, we read that for a period of 40 days after the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. It is significant that after the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead, during that period of 40 days, the Word of God calls attention to the fact that there were only three individuals that he addressed by name. Mary. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? How their hearts must have thrilled when the Lord Jesus Christ called them by name. I know my sheep, he says, and am known of mine. He calleth his own sheep by name. Only John calls attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus called three of his own by name. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ turned in a moment Mary's sorrow into joy. She was weeping, downcast, discouraged. She supposed him to be the gardener. And one word wiped all of her tears away. Just one word. And there is hope for the downcast. There is hope for the discouraged. There is hope for the disconsolate. Just simply a word from Christ. All that Mary needed was this message. He's alive. That was all. They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. But she received a message of life. The trouble with Thomas was this. He was in the dark. Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. You know, there is a real tragedy in Thomas' case, as we know. He had missed meeting with God's people, with those other 10 disciples, when they were gathered together on that first resurrection morning. Thomas was not there. There was the tragedy of the missing seat. And we can be sure that the Lord was very conscious of Thomas' absence. I'm reminded of the words of Jonathan of old concerning David. Thou shalt be missed, he said, because thy seat will be empty. There was a place for Thomas, but he wasn't there. There is the tragedy of the missing seat. Brother Gibbs used to say that people would say, well, brother, very sorry I can't be with you this week, but I'll be with you in spirit. He said, I would come to the meeting, and the first six rows were full of disembodied spirits. And then there are those that are here in body, but not in spirit. Many a business deal has been concocted as God's people have met together. Many a cake has been baked. That real estate deal that's cooking tomorrow is churning through a man's mind, sitting there with a pious expression on the face, but missing it all. The tragedy of the missing seat. You see, Thomas' problem was this. It wasn't light that he needed so much. It was light. He was in the dark. And he was in the dark for 1 week because he was not present when the Lord Jesus first showed himself to those disciples. Doubting Thomas, that's what we call him. Talk about being hard-headed. 10 individuals whom he had accompanied with for 3.5 years heard the gracious words that proceeded from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing the mighty miracles that he did. And they said, we've seen the Lord. He was here. We've seen him. He sat right in that seat, Thomas. And he ate some broiled fish and a honeycomb that we gave him right there.
And in the face of 10 trusted witnesses, he says, except I shall see, I will not believe.
He was in the dark simply because he would not believe the witness that was given. And the Lord Jesus upbraided him as he did the other disciples because of his unbelief. The marvelous truth concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is this: he was seen. He was seen. Paul calls attention to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was seen of Cephas. He was seen of the 12. He was seen of over 500 brethren at once. He says he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. He was seen. The best attested fact in all history is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one saw him rise from the dead. Thousands saw him when he hung on the cross. No one saw him when he rose from the dead. But he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Is there hope for the downcast? Yes, there is. Is there hope for the doubter? Yes, there is. How about the denier? Simon Peter. Three times he denies the Lord Jesus Christ with oaths and curses. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Didn't look like it. He had blatantly denied three times over that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with profanity, as we ordinarily think of profanity. He denied that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ with an oath and with a curse. You ever been in the courtroom and they say, now will you put your hand on the Bible? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God? The Lord Jesus spoke in the day in which he lived. He said, don't swear by heaven, that's God's throne. Don't swear by the altar. The most sacred things, the temple, the altar, heaven itself, those were the things that they swore by. And Peter took an oath by the most sacred things in life to him that he was telling the truth. I do not know the man. Ever heard anybody say something like this? May God strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. That's what Peter did. He called down a curse upon himself if he wasn't telling the truth. I don't know him. Can there be any hope whatever for the deliberate denier of our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad that we have a Savior that meets us right where we are. He came to the downcast one. He came to the doubter. And he came to the denier. Is it not significant that the Scripture calls attention, the very first one of the apostles that the Lord Jesus saw after his resurrection was the denier? He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. That's the testimony of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Peter, the stone, the dependable one, the name given to him by our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is mentioned 195 times in the New Testament, more than all the other apostles put together. And there is no question whatever, as far as the 12 were concerned, Peter was the outstanding apostle. In every list that's given, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in Acts, Peter's name is always mentioned first. And Matthew not only says that, he says, Peter is the first. And by that he meant the foremost. He says, he's number one among the apostles. He was the first. And when he said, though all deny thee, yet will not I. I may be wrong, but I believe that every one of them would have said, that's true. If there's any one of the 12 that's going to be true to Christ to the end, it's Simon Peter. Peter's name is mentioned first. He was the denier.
And Judas' name is mentioned last. He was the betrayer. But oh, what a world of difference between the one who is a true sheep of Christ and one who is not. You know, Peter had said, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'm going to be wherever you go, Lord. You can't follow me now, Peter. Afterwards, I'll follow you wherever you go." Willing to die for Christ. And the Lord Jesus bears testimony to his willingness because he said the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But notice what the Scripture says about Judas. Judas saw an opportunity to betray him. He went out with a deliberate intent to betray the Son of God. Peter went out with a determination to follow Christ, and he fell. He was willing in the garden to take that sword and take on a whole cohort of soldiers. Started chopping off their ears one by one. But he quailed before the testimony, before the question of a simple girl who asked him whether he knew the Lord or not. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 22? He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." He did not pray, "I'm going to pray for you that you may have faith." He says, "I'm going to pray that the faith that you have will not fail." One of the thrilling things about the Christian faith is this: that our salvation depends on our Lord, not on us. "He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ." A.D. Abershone has written, "When I fear, my faith will fail. Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, Christ will hold me fast." Yes, Peter's courage failed, but not his faith. "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." The security of the believer does not depend upon him holding on to the Lord Jesus, but on the fact that the Lord holds on to him. In Romans chapter 5, it says, "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Not by the life that he lived when he was here on earth, but by the life that he's now living at God's right hand. And the very thing which the Savior said of Peter is true of every believer. He says, "I have." He didn't say, "I will pray for you." He says, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." My Bible tells me this, that the Savior that we know is able to save to the very end all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Is there hope for the denier? Can he be restored? Yes, indeed. The Christian rejoices in the fact that though he fails and falters, our love is oft times low. Our joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with him remains the same. No change Jehovah knows. He restoreth my soul. And our Savior could say triumphantly in prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, "Of all those thou hast given me, have I lost none." Mary, downcast, weeping, she says, "They have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him." She should have been weeping had he still have been in the tomb. She should have been rejoicing because he was risen, as he said. There was one good thing about Thomas. We were singing, "I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands." He said, "I'm not going to be content
with anything or anyone less than the one who was wounded for me. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Mary needed life. Thomas needed light. And Peter needed a new appreciation of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read concerning Mary that this one out of whom the Lord Jesus had cast seven demons, it says that in Luke chapter 8, she and many others ministered to the Lord of their substance. They accompanied the Lord and his disciples and helped them in a financial way with the material needs of life. We see Mary Magdalene as the last one at the cross with our Lord Jesus Christ. We see her as the first one at the tomb, and as we were reminded the other day, because of her devotion to the Lord Jesus, she had the great privilege of being the first person on earth to see our Savior after he arose from the dead. Is there hope, Mary? Yes, there is hope. He's alive, and because he lives, I don't need, as the hymn writer says, to fear tomorrow. Thomas is mentioned three times by John, and each occasion it's in connection with a doubt. John 11 and verse 16, he's doubting the future. He says, let us also go that we may die with him. He's already prepared for a funeral. But the Lord had said, of all those thou hast given me, have I lost none. And he protected all of them from death while he was here on earth. And then in John 14, when the Lord Jesus said, whither I go, thou knowest the way. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And he had a doubt about the present. The Lord Jesus, I am the way. Do you have a doubt about the present? That the Lord Jesus is our present way of access to the Father. We come as children to the Father through him. I am the way, he said. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in our chapter, he had a doubt as to the past. Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. I think in Mary we see the picture of the devil's power. She was one who had been possessed by seven demons, but can God give victory over the devil and his power in a human life? Yes, indeed. In Thomas, I think we see the picture of the world, because the world says, seeing is believing. That was the Jewish idea, except we see signs, the Lord Jesus said, you will not believe. And in Peter we see the flesh. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Three times we know the Lord Jesus addresses this same question or similar question to Peter with variations. First of all, he meets him on a very high plane. Do you love me? And the love that he uses is a very, very high word. The word that is used for God's love in Scripture. And Peter answers with the word, well, I have an affection for you, Lord. Do you love me? The Lord again uses the same word that he used the first occasion. And Peter again takes that little lower word. And then finally the Lord asks him the third time, and he takes the same weaker word, the word for affection that Peter had used, and he says, do you love me? Do you have an affection for me, Peter? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. It is a wonderful thing as a Christian to know this, that the Lord knows. He knows that I know. He says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. I have a friend up in Greensboro, Georgia. Greensboro, North Carolina. Before I tell that, let me refer you to a passage in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, you read something like this in verse 64. Jesus knew who believed not on him. And Jesus knew who should betray him. And we read elsewhere, of course, he knew who did believe on him. But the Lord Jesus, it says, as a result of his sayings, many of them were turning back and leaving him. And he said to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And I read that for years and never noticed that Peter made a mistake. I said, what a wonderful confession that Peter made, and it is. But the Lord said, now wait just a minute, Peter, you made a mistake. Peter made one mistake. He used the wrong pronoun. He said, we believe and are sure, and that's the only way anybody can be sure, is when you believe, when you take God at his word. And if he'd have said, I believe and I'm sure, the Lord would have said nothing. But it says, Jesus knew who should betray him. And notice the next words the Lord Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. The Lord says, you can speak for 11 here, but not for number 12. Eddie Swartz used to work in Richmond, Virginia, before he was saved and after he was saved, for an engraving company. After he had trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, there was a great big black fellow that worked there. Looked something like Joe Lewis in his build. Went to the Baptist church, a fine Christian fellow, and they had good fellowship together. The day came when Eddie was leaving and he was going to be involved in the Lord's work on a full-time basis. And he said to this man whose name was Brown, well, Brother Brown, he said, we've had wonderful fellowship together. And he said, if we never meet here again, we'll meet up there. And Brother Brown said, I hope so. Eddie said, I put my briefcase down. I said, what did you say? He said, I hope so. He said, brother, he said, I thought that you believed that if you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved for all eternity. You can be sure. Well, he says, I am sure about me, but I'm not sure about you. You can believe that I'm saved, and I can believe that you're saved, but you can know that you're saved. I can know it. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Lord, thou knowest all things. He knows how weak your love is. He knows how weak my love is. But he knows also this, that your salvation and my salvation does not depend on our holding on to him, but his holding on to us. When I was a little fellow, I can remember, I've seen little kids do the same thing and say, Daddy, hold me. Mama, hold me. And then that day inevitable comes when they say, you're getting too big to hold. Remember that? You're getting too big to hold. There was a day when my mother and my father, they used to take me up in their arms and tell everybody what a beautiful little kid I was, you know? They could hold me, but the day came when they were no longer able to hold me, and both my mother and father are in the glory now, and neither of them could hold me. And oh, I'm so glad that underneath of the everlasting arms, oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul on thee. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. He loved me or I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. Round my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I'm his, he is mine, forever and forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind, so true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power on earth can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I'm his forever. I'm glad of a Savior that meets us right where we are. He came to downcast, discouraged Mary, and he just spoke that wonderful word that said he's alive, Mary. And to Thomas, who was in the dark, and what he needed was faith, the Lord Jesus showed him his hands and his side. because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And what Peter needed was not to see how much he loved Christ. He needed to realize afresh how much the Savior loved him. Do you love me, Simon? And I could see Simon Peter as he looked at those nail prints in the Savior's hand. Lord, you're the one who went to the cross. And as he says in his epistle, you bore my sins in your own body on the tree. And I'm sure he realized afresh that his blessing rested not in his love for Christ, but in Christ's love for him. Yes, there is hope for each one who has trusted Christ, the resurrected, glorified, and soon coming Savior. And he says, if you want to know whether you're one of my sheep, he says, I've given you two marks so you can know. Any who profess the name of Christ, he says, I've given you two marks. He says, first of all, there's the mark of the ear. My sheep hear my voice. And he says, the second mark,